Kathy. I was like, I have a brain thing. And to Amanda's back there this morning, thank you guys for doing that. You know, it's just so much. You know, God is so good. I'm so glad we sang those songs this morning. Do you guys, like really, I honestly want your opinion. Do you guys like singing songs that say the things that our song said this morning? You know, where we're thanking Him, we're recognizing how good He is. We're telling ourselves over and over, come on, soul. Give Him praise and give Him worship. He's good. You can rely on God. And, you know, it's like I like being reminded of those things all the time, and it helps me. And, you know, that's like, to me, it's like this picture I have on the overhead today. That's a picture of spring. It's a mountain and valley and all these spring flowers, and it's not up there. It will be someday. Oh, me? It's me? Okay, whatever. Look, nope, I am on. Ha ha. Oh, I'm good. Yeah, y'all get to see what I see. There we go. Bam! It's spring. Guess what spring promises? New life, hope. It's like in the dark of a winter, in the end of this cold, dry place, spring happens and the crocus blooms and the very first flowers stick. A lot of them will come up out of the snow, right? And I believe that when you look at this, when I look at this picture, it's why I picked this picture was this. The world doesn't just exist because of dirt. You need rain, right? You need plants. You need animal life, the insect life. Our world is a highly complex system. It's amazing. Even in the universe, do you know that we're in the Milky Way, right? Isn't that where we're at? You know that we're in an empty spot? Our universe, our solar system in the whole universe is in a big empty spot. If it wasn't in that empty spot, it would be destroyed. It's like, if you think of all the things, the complexity, how God put together this huge system that brings life. And I'm going to tell you that God has done the same thing with us. Today I want to talk about, you know, I love this. Next Sunday, we're going to celebrate family night. Family night is what we do on Wednesday nights. We come together, all together, but then we divide up into smaller groups to have a... And it's about relationship. It's about community. And family night's all about community. That's why we're doing it. But do you know it's interesting when I look at community, it's like our world. Our world is a community. It wouldn't exist without that. Do you know that you and I can't exist well without community? Listen, I looked this up. This is the latest scientific studies. You know what they say about community for you and me as humans? They say that 61% of young adults report living in serious loneliness. That's huge. Over half of all young adults are seriously lonely. They don't have a community. They have people. They have media. They have electronics. They have all that. But over half of the young adults in the United States of America do not have community. This is sort of strange, but it's not surprising to me. 51% of young mothers report having serious loneliness in their life. Well, I understand that. A young mother is stuck at work, stuck providing for her family and her children, and she's alone a lot, taking care, even though she's never alone. You know, it's like you can never be alone, but you're also alone. And that 36% of all people that they surveyed, thousands and thousands in the United States, 36%, one out of three, report living in serious loneliness all the time. Now, of course, I'm involved in this now, so I'm more aware of it. You know, my dad's in assisted living, so I go over there to see him. We do, and he's like all the people there. It's like a lot of people there, just like in a nursing home, nobody visits them. Like, they don't. And they get so excited when they see a face they don't know. And they'll you become their family if you'll talk to them, right? 2 out of 5, this is sad. This is so sad. And it makes me stop and look at my life too. 2 out of 5 older adults regard TV as their primary source of company. Like, that's what they got. That's not community. That's not a deep relationship. But that's all they've got. You know, loneliness, they've proved this over and over again. Loneliness is associated with a lot of different health problems, physically and emotionally. Depression, anxiety, and this is crazy, cardiovascular disease can be tracked to loneliness. You see how important community is to us? Loneliness, let me tell you this, loneliness is not the result of an absence of people in your life. You think it would be, right? That's not what it is. It's actually the lack of deep, meaningful relationships. Have you ever been like that? There's people everywhere, but nobody you're in deep relationship with. I heard somebody tell me the other day who moved here to Cabot from the metropolitan DFW metropolitan area, you know, 2 or 3 million people. Like, the place never gets quiet. There's constant, there's just people everywhere in Dallas-Fort Worth area. And they lived there for 20 years, and they left there without one deep relationship. How did that happen? How did that happen to somebody? You see, it's really not about no people around. It's about no big, deep relationships. Listen, whether you're a follower of Jesus or not, really, we can agree that these statistics are not okay. Something needs to be changed. It's not okay for half the people to have serious loneliness in their life. It's not okay. We need to do something about that. We are not flourishing and living happy, abundant lives when we are living independently and isolated from people. Deep, meaningful relationships. You won't thrive. You don't prosper. You may be rich. You may have stuff. But without deep relationships, you just really don't have much. I just saw Chris in the hallway this morning, and he was here early, so Amy has Emsley. And, you know, it's like, you know, some days things just sort of fall apart. You ever had days like that where, you know, the walls fall down, the whatever? You know, there are days when that happens. And I saw Chris in the hallway, and, you know, I was like, listen, you've got Emsley. Nothing else really matters anymore, does it? And he smiled, and he said, no. It's like, it doesn't matter. Bills, you know, whatever, the world, all this news, the bad news. Listen, when you have a child that you've been blessed with and that you love, that's good, because that's a deep relationship that'll last a lifetime, you know. That little girl right now, she just sits there. I mean, she's doing something, but pretty soon she'll be Amy's best friend for a long time. You can't buy that. You can't do it. So, do you know this? This is really interesting. Study after study after study has found that strong, deep relationships in your life brings your life expectancy. It increases your life expectancy by 50%. This is from science. This isn't Christian or non-Christian. It's just science. You'll live 50% longer if you have. You know why family life is important, family night? Because that's where we can have deeper relationships. You can be in a group of people. Now, I want to talk to everybody, but the truth is I also need people in my life. Like, I loved my small group in family night. I didn't want to miss. And there were 4 of us in the group, sometimes 3, sometimes 6 or 7. But we talked about our lives. We talked about important stuff. We actually were in a, I missed them. I only met with them, we met not that many times. And when it was over, I was like, well, rats. I like those people. I mean, well, everybody but Rick, but I liked about everybody else. No, he's not. He wasn't in my group. Yeah. But, you know, guys, I'm going to tell you, there's a deep longing. I'm telling you, what pleases God is you. He paid so much to have you. And that's all He wants. He wants a relationship with you. And it pleases Him. So I want to please Him. I throw up my saying. I said, one thing I don't like in that song is we act like we've got nothing to give to a king. Yeah, you've got a son of the king to give to the king. You've got a child. A king that has everything in the world. Nothing matters except for their child. The prince and the princess, and that's who we are. And so tonight, you know, we left these up here another week. There's treasures over there. It's because your king wants to give you the best. And here we have a faith like a mustard seed, and there's something here. And God wants to give you. You know where faith comes from. It doesn't come from me generating it or you generating or reading about it or even hearing a sermon about it. Faith comes from God. And there's faith represented in this mustard seed here. And when you take communion, what are you doing? I'm receiving the body and the blood of Christ. Listen, God, your dad just loves you. He wants to bless you over and over again. And we come to worship Him over and over again, and He wants to bless us over. So, what does the Bible say about community? That's what I want to get to, and I want to get this, and I'll go over it quick. Because the Bible, from the beginning to the end, right? Let's go back to the beginning in Genesis. When God created the world, y'all remember this passage, He said it was good. Remember, over and over again, every day, he said it was good. But then there was one thing that He said that wasn't good. And wasn't it interesting? It wasn't good for man to be alone. Now, of course, He created Eve, but God was talking about something bigger than just a husband and wife. He was talking about life. It's not good to be alone. You know, in the Garden of Eden, before sin entered the world, in Genesis 2:18, God said, that's interesting. He said, before sin entered, God said it's not good for man to be alone. That's what God thinks about it. And you know, I like this, in God's eyes, maybe community is not only a question of if it is important, but rather a declaration that it is essential to our growth and discipleship and the key to thriving. Community is a expression of who God is. It's not an opinion. It's not a theory. It's not an idea. It literally is who He is. So, you know this verse, Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. Now, if you read that right, because you know the word for God there is the word Elohim, and in Hebrew, do you know that that's a plural word? That word is used over, I think I wrote it down, 2,600 times in the Bible in the Old Testament. 2,600 times God, that we translate God, which is the Hebrew word Elohim. And Elohim is a plural. It's not singular. So every time you see God in Scripture, in this verse, I would have read it like this. God created mankind in their own image. In the image of God, they created them. Male and female, they created Him. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit has always existed one way in community. And He created you and I after His image, which only exists in community. That's why if you don't have deep relationships, you're not going to live as long as you would if you did. You'll live. Well, I'll live till Jesus wants me to come home. Yeah, and He created you to live one way, and that's in deep, real, meaningful relationships with people. And so why are we celebrating family night? We're going to celebrate it next Sunday. We're going to have testimonies. We're going to talk about it's a week from Wednesday is when it's starting on the 11th. But why is that important? It's life-changing. It literally can become the most important thing in your life is living in community. And so it's a big deal. You know, community is important because we serve a relational God who created us to be relational. If you're made in His image, you are not made to be a loner. Neither am I. Now, some of us aren't real, I can't think of that word when you like talking to people a lot, outgoing. But none of us are created to be a loner. So if you're quiet and you're not real outgoing person, then go hang out with another quiet, not outgoing person. Now you got community. And they'll let you talk, where some of you guys don't. If I'm in a lot of places where I don't get to talk. I'm around people that talk all the time. And I'm like, well, okay. I got really embarrassed the other day. I went to human trafficking. Jeannie and I went to a human trafficking meeting. And everybody there was leading ministries in human trafficking. And I don't know, what am I doing there? But I'm just sitting there. And they're all very talkative. And like, they can talk really good. And so we ate supper together. We sat at tables and I listened to people and asked some questions. But then as we all met in a little group and they're talking and talking and talking and talking, and I have already decided I'm going to get to sit here the rest of the night and I don't have to say another word because they're going to talk the whole time. And then the lady who was running the meeting, she interrupted everybody and said, now what do you think, Alan? I was like, shoot, I got busted. But see, that's what will happen to you if you come to family night and you get in a group, especially if there's a women's group that meets up here, really all the groups. Yeah, they're going to make you talk. They won't make you. They'll ask you questions, and it's uncomfortable. And if you're in Harvey's group, oh, they're going to love the snot out of you. They really are. It's just like, they're going to get in your life. If you're sick, they're going to do stuff. They just won't leave you alone, will they? They don't, do you, Valerie? It's like, mercy sakes, what are you doing in my life? It's because they care about you and they want to have a relationship with you. Even if you're not nice, they still want to have a relationship with you. It's really amazing. So living in community as a church is a big deal, because in communities where you live out the gospel in living color, it's like 3D. It's like immersive technology beyond anything that we can ever create. It's real, and it makes a big difference. You know, I have some verses. I like this verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27, right? It talks about chapter 11, chapter 12, chapter 13, where he talks about the body of Christ. And it's a great passage, and you can study it. It talks about the gifts of the Spirit and everything. Then in that passage, he says this, you are the body of the Anointed One. And this is really pointed from the Passion Translation. And each of you is a unique and vital part of it. Like, that's what God thinks about you. That's the truth that He says about you. You know, our challenge, right, is can we really believe what the Bible says about us is true? Like, the Bible says you're unique, and you're important, and you have a purpose, and you bring something to everyone's life that's, you matter. And I believe it's really true. So being in community is living the gospel out. It's the real thing, right? And I love this. In Ephesians 1:3, it tells a lot about community. He says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. If you look through the Bible, it's like, us all the time. It's there. God doesn't see any of us as individuals alone. He sees us as a part of a body unique. He sees us. And it's really beautiful, I think. And He's blessed us, all of us, because you carry gifts. I carry gifts. We all carry gifts. We bless each other. That's how God does this. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Together, the body of Christ is the body of Christ. And there's nothing in heaven God doesn't want to bring to earth. He told us that when Jesus taught us how to pray. He said, pray that God's, my Father's will being done in heaven will be done on earth. God wants to bless you and me with everything in heaven. now. And you know where it happens? In community. I'm sorry. This is God's plan. He can't exist without community. The Father was never alone. Son was never alone. Holy Spirit was never alone. They were always one. And in love, I love this passage. Of course, you know, He chose us in creation. Y'all know that verse. In love, He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. You and I were adopted by the Father, which is world-shattering. But you know what happens when you get adopted? You get brothers and you get sisters. And that messy relationship of brothers and sisters and brothers and brothers and sisters and sisters, and also that magic relationship of family that happens with what Jesus did on the cross. And it all came because of Jesus. It all came from Him. So really, being in community is that. We're all brothers and sisters. Community is the gospel being lived out in a family. That's why we call this family night, because it's family. And it's God's idea. It's how we thrive and it's how we flourish in the world. Love can only exist in a relationship. Think about it. How can you love unless there's someone to love? How can you be loved unless there's someone to love you? Love only exists in relationship. It never, and even God, who is love, Jesus is love, He never existed outside of a relationship. And so that's where love exists. It exists between two people. It exists when you smile at someone. It exists when you're patient with someone. It exists when you stop and you see someone, that they're a human and they have value and worth. That's love. It exists when you physically touch someone. It exists when you serve someone. It's fun. On family night, I watch, Sherry and Donna and Missy and Dana and 10 or 12 other people that serve to make family night happen. That's love. You're getting touched by love when you eat those beans or when you drink the tea. You're getting touched by love when somebody serves your children. You're getting touched by love. That's love happening in reality, not in theory. It's real. It's not watch. Let's all go watch TV, watch them love people on TV. Listen, I was thinking, y'all know that crazy drug-infested, sex-infested something they did back in the late 60s. I can't think what it's called now. You would know it if I said it. That wasn't love. I just said that. Right. So community, love can only exist in relationship. As followers of Jesus, our community is the space where we grow in love and become. So when somebody comes and you guys express love to me, however it is, it may be in a corrective word. It may be in sharing the revelation you have. In a thousand ways, the worship team shares with us their worship of the King, and that helps me to be able to worship. You see how this works? They help me be able to worship. If they weren't up here leading worship, I'm about a minute and a half by myself and I'd be done. I'd be thinking of something else. No, they help me worship the King. They share their gift with us. And when you love someone, that makes your gifting accessible to them. They can embrace it. They can experience it. They can benefit from it. And it can be multiplied. Now, when Daniel taught last week on generosity, I was like, that's a great teaching. I feel I'm going to intentionally be more generous. I learned something. Well, what? He shared something with me and you. And that's what happens every time we're together. We share. So it's a big thing, right? Where am I at? Next deal, this is where I am. This is a very important passage. and you guys can read the whole thing, but I'm really want to focus. He said in verse 25, this is not the time to pull away, Hebrews 10:25. This is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together. Now, they were having a lot of persecution. They were having a lot of division and arguing. And they, you know, sort of like, you know, like family. Now, don't, you guys, I'm not going to make you hold your hand up. But who gets on your nerves? Like, is it the person sitting on the front row? Do they get on your nerves? Or is it someone in your family gets on your nerves? Right, family is messy. And it's marvelous. It's where we grow. It's where we learn. It's like that's what happens. So it says, when things are hard, don't stop, don't pull away and neglect meeting together in community, as some have formed the habit of doing, because we need each other. We need each other. The very thing I need when I'm in trouble, the enemy and the natural junk in me will make me want to pull away. When I'm irritated, when I'm sad, when I'm hurting, and when somebody in here has hurt me, that thing wants me to pull away. And then what did he say? The writer to the Hebrews said, in fact, we should come together even more frequently, eager to encourage and urge each other onward as we anticipate the day dawning. Listen, it's Christ in you that's the hope of glory. And every time Christ in you shines, it releases Christ in me. That's why we come together. And so it's very important. So community is one of our values. You know, our first value is love. Loving ourselves and loving His church and loving others. We love. We want this to be a place, a community that loves well. And then one of our other values is community. We believe community is vitally important. It's an essential part of discipleship, sanctification. You know, I'm not going to go over these because we'd be here all day. There's a Greek word that we translate one another. When you read your New Testament, you've noticed that one another is often used. Sometimes it's transferred each other, mutually, reciprocally. But that term is used over 100 times in the New Testament. You exhort one another, you teach one another, you encourage one another, you love one another. You see, it's what we do as family. We do it with one another. It's where discipleship happens in a family, the most effective there is. Listen, when we share, when we're together and we share the journey that we're on with our friends, with our family here at Grace, it literally... The lies we believe are brought into the light when we share. You know, I believe lies. You and I both believe lies. That's what Eve believed, lies. The enemy tells us lies all the time. But when you come into a community and you share a lie, you can receive light. You'll hear the truth, either through the scripture or through the person sitting beside you. However God wants to share that with you, you'll hear the truth. And that lie loses its power in your life, because we're set free when we're brought into the light. And when we're together, there's light. And community is how we bring a taste of the kingdom of God to others. And I wrote this down. It's sort of like interesting, but you know this is true. A kingdom is the domain of the king where the inhabitants of the land live according to the laws and decrees of the king. It's a kingdom. When people come to Grace, they're coming into a place that literally becomes like an oasis of God's kingdom. It's a place of love, a place of acceptance, a place of hope, a place of perseverance, a place of serving. You have people that are willing to give their time and energy in their lives to help you, that gather together. I mean, you know, I love what we're doing with in India and in with Randy Boy's ministry. And I'm drawing a blank now. We support three. Yeah, Chico in Mexico. We get to share our lives with those guys through prayers and finances. You know, this is interesting. Jesus, when he came to earth, created, I read this, somebody said this, and I don't know who said it, but I thought it was really good. Jesus created pockets of love. When he came to the earth, he created pockets of love in a culture of fear. That's what he was born into. And when he was here, he formed a new kind of community in the world. He created an atmosphere, a place that was different. And when he did that, it was something, and here's what's true. He created a community he called the church. The church was to exist not as a haven from the world, but as a place of hope for the world. When everything else is bad, when everything else is hopeless, when everything else is at its wit's end, the body of Christ brings hope into a lost world. It's a beacon of light, a city set on a hill that can't be hidden. You see, that's who we are. So, when we build community, and it takes the same thing that being generous takes. It takes a step of faith. It takes action. It takes planning. It takes investment. It really does. When we purposely start creating pockets of community that reflect the heart of God, anyone encountering that will see a difference. They see a light that the world doesn't have. We not only ourselves draw closer to God and experience a fuller life, it doesn't just help us to be in community, but others can see the heart of our relational God. They can see a God that's in community, and they feel his love. And then, you know, the truth is, every human on earth was wired for that. Your internal wiring is you were created in his image, and he lives in community, in a deep, deep relationship. That's what we were all made for. That's what every human on earth desires. We long for that. When God sees people alone, he says, that's not good. It's not good. He wants us, and he invites us to join him in a relationship with him. Listen, we live out our life with God by making intentional relationships. And I'll end here. Daniel emphasized last week the difference between generosity and giving. One is intentional. Generosity takes intention. It takes planning. It takes action. Giving is just spur of the moment. Community, for most of us, it's going to take intention. It's going to take faith. And it's going to take a commitment and action to be a person that lives in community. And we were created for that. You know, most of y'all don't know. Some of you do know. I'm going back to school. Sort of funny. To me, it's funny. I started a week ago, 2 weeks ago, I think, and I'm going to UALR. I'm going to become a licensed therapist. So I have to get a master's degree in therapy to do it. And so I'm going back to school. And I haven't been to school in 35 years, something like that, maybe longer. So it's different. We didn't have word processors, so those are amazing compared to when I went to school before. But it's really hard. It's going to be hard. But I'm doing it for one reason. You see, I want to be able to bring life to people that would not darken the church doors. I want to be able to bring life to the children and the students that they'll be able to send to me when I'm a licensed therapist. And I'm going to invest 2.5 years. I'm wanting to graduate before I turn 70. That's my goal. I hope I can make it. But I do that. And you know what's a blessing? This, to me, this is a big deal. Okay, so I'm going to invest 2.5 years of my life in doing this. It means I'll be really, really busy. I am really busy, right? But you know what excites me? is when I talk to these people, I have a place that I know will love them and accept them and invite them into their lives and invite them into their relationships. And I know that I'm bringing them to a place that will not look at them funny like they're weird aliens. I don't care what's going on. I know that you're going to love them well. And so I can very confidently invest years of my life to bring, touch people, and I have some place to bring them where they're going to experience Jesus. That's who y'all are. Y'all live in community already. It's value that you have already. It's just the commitment we're making. And family night's a big part of that commitment for us right now. It gives us a place. Like, our first value is love, and we love well as a people. You guys have just for 20 years, 30 years, y'all have loved well. Now there's this, the church really is a place of hope for the world. Don't believe those people that say the church isn't. They had bad experiences, and you'll have bad experiences in your family too, right? I'm not validating abuse or any of that stuff. That's not right. None of it is. But I want to tell you, the church is the family of God. It's what it is. Now, I've turned in two papers so far, which is really a challenge. And I turned in a paper to this professor, and I'm really sort of enjoying, even though I'm online, so I don't ever get to meet the people, but they make you talk all the time on this computer thing. And I turned in a paper, and I get my really first paper back. The professor was very gracious. I made 100 on it. I don't think I've ever made 100 on anything before. I know. I was like, I don't know if he was being kind because I'm over 50, but don't care. That's good. So he wrote me, he gave me a grade, and he wrote me this. This is what he wrote. I want to read this to you guys because it makes me look good. No, not really. That's all I'm reading it. Good job. That was the extent of the praise. But then he said, I am interested in how your years in pastoral work has affected your viewpoint on those who come into sessions with sinful activities. Honest question, right? Then he goes on. He said, I ask this because I grew up in a very evangelical, conservative church. I still consider myself a Christian, but there was a lot of deconstruction I had to do in order to have a more open mind and loving heart. I do like the breakdown between applied knowledge and empirical knowledge. It was great, which doesn't mean anything to y'all. But I'm like, I'm going to get to talk to him about a Jesus that loves everyone. About a shame-free gospel that isn't like the old Jewish religion where you were either a Jew or you were a Gentile. You know, those Gentiles. Don't even eat with them. Don't even go in their house. Jesus broke that wide open, didn't he? Jesus came and he changed everything. So, you know, I get to share with this professor. And he's just a man. He's younger than me. Just a guy. And I'm going to tell him the truth. Well, like, I'm sorry you experienced that. I haven't had to deconstruct anything because my God is amazing. He loves everybody. And I love people more now than I did 40 years ago when I started, or 10 years ago, or 20 years ago. I love people more now than I ever have in my whole life. And that's the God I know. I want to praise him again and again. I want to give him everything. And, you know, I do have a gift good enough for him. You know how come I know it is? Because he said it was. I give him this. I give him my time. I will intentionally bring people to know him. And then when I do that, what a wonderful place to bring them to, Grace Fellowship. And in all of our messes and all of our weirdness and all of our stuff, we love people. Because we're just like them, you know, just like them. So I want to encourage you, community. Be a part of community. If you can't come on Wednesday nights, that's fine. You're still in community. There are 1,000 ways to be in community. That's just one. And here on Sunday mornings, this is a community. We have a community. Right now, we're small enough you can actually talk to people. One day, that won't be true again. But even in that, you still have community. So, guys, I want to invite you into community. If you don't have a small group you're a part of, you need to be. If you're not a part of a ministry, you need to be. It's like, you know what? Those people in the sound booth, I know y'all can't see them. They're ducked down up there. But that's a community. The children's team, it's a community. There's a lot of ways to live in community. And we want everyone to have a community, right? And if you're really, really desperate and nobody wants you, Harvey's group will take you. The bad thing is they won't let you go. I know Valerie's like, yeah. I'm like, I know. See, Tommy, he'll talk to you. He'll cry on your shoulder if you let him. Listen, they're a community. Rick's group, Rick has a men's group. They're hilarious. We're going to have to divide it into two groups because there's too many in there because they all like to talk. We're going to have community, guys. Let's look forward to it. So I always want to encourage you, find a community. Amen? So let's all stand up. All of us people on the worship team, we're a community. I'm not on the worship team. This is as close as I get. Let me pray. Yeah, come on up, Rick and Jessica. When Jessica's with him, it's Richard and Jessica. And then on this side, we have Vicky and Bill. And both of them will love you till you drop if you let them. Bill bought us donuts and stuff the other day on that work day we had. It was amazing. And really, we ate them all day long, Bill. It was hilarious. Let's pray. And if Jesus is calling you, if that thing inside of you, you're lonely, be a good place to start coming up and sharing with these guys. And I tell you, he's already given his son to bring you into community. He's already done it. So God, I just thank you that you are plural, that you've never been alone, and you said you would never leave us, you would never forsake us. Jesus, I thank you that what you did on the cross was sufficient, that you broke the power of the devil over our lives and you set us free. So Jesus, I just ask that we wouldn't miss one of your sheep, that you would make us even more loving and kind and accepting than we've ever been. That we would love people well. So God, I just praise you and I lift your name up. So amen. Love you guys. Thank you for being here this morning. We're dismissed.